Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. October 13, 2019. What is the meaning of Sukkot? From my Facebook page, Michael Leitman, the 13th of October 2019. On Sukkot, we are commanded to dwell in temporary dwelling. Temporary dwelling means that it is built from things we consider unimportant. The things our ego cannot appreciate are the things that build our inner thatch. The inner thatch covers and protects us from our own ego. The Times of Israel published my new article Sukkot 2019, How to Reconstruct Our Jewish Home. Synagogues across the globe are shutting down their doors for good. Demographic changes, financial problems, assimilation, and lack of interest in Jewish life among younger people, as well as the feeling of insecurity due to anti-Semitic attacks, are among the major factors that contribute to this phenomena. But there is a deeper cause to the declining membership and its consequences for communities, the lack of cohesion and sense of a common home among the Jewish people as a whole. The festival of Sukkot, during which we celebrate unity and hospitality with those closest to us, is an invitation to reshape our destiny and reflect on building a common Sukkah where all Jews can be united as one and with them the entire world. The Jewish festivities this year face a new reality. Once vibrant Jewish communities around the world have seen their membership significantly reduced. For instance, the community in Nice, once the fourth largest in France with around 20,000 members, has decreased to a mere 3,000. Similar situations can be found in Jewish congregations in Boston, New York and the Midwest, all due to dwindling membership. Jews exhibit lower levels of religious commitment than the U.S. general public, among whom only 26% said religion is very important, in comparison to 56% of non-Jews, according to American research organizations. The studies also show a gap between Jewish attendance at synagogue services compared with other denominations. Jews report attending religious services at much lower rates than do other religious groups. 6-10 Christians, 62%, say they attend religious services at least once or twice a month, compared with 29% of Jews, revealed the survey. I am not surprised. After we I, the sense of belonging and the need for communal association thrived among Jews, but nowadays there is basically nothing to hold a community together. In a generation where everything is disposable and anything can be acquired, independence has become more highly valued than ever before, and calculations for community trail accordingly. One may ask, why should we be part of a community and identify as being Jewish? What do I get out of it? Nothing, and perhaps the opposite, would be the probable response. In fact, Jewish life essentially has little or no meaning if we do not ask life's most significant questions, such as why do I exist? And what does it mean to be Jewish? The word Jew, Yehudi in Hebrew, stems from the word unity, Yehud. Our purpose as Jews is to reach a state of unity among each other and to share it with the nations of the world, that is to be a light unto the nations. However, in order to attain such a lofty goal, we need to first rise above our egoistic nature, that is, to transform our attributes of self-concern and self-indulgence into concern and care for others. How does this relate to the Sukkot holiday? This festival is precisely a call to exit our comfortable egoistic home, meaning our self-love, and to build a new structure, a Sukkah, the symbol of the new world that we can create if we acquire the quality of bestowal, the quality of love for others. Sukkot symbolizes the beautiful process of inner change where we take the waste of barn and winery, items that, according to the wisdom of Kabbalah, represent the quality of love for others that are now mingled and immersed within our egoistic thoughts of self-concern, and raise such attributes like a roof, high above our heads. We construct a cover for the ego and, day by day, during the week of Sukkot, perform additional clarifications about the qualities that contribute to altruism and ask for our correction. Then, symbolically, the light that sifts through the thatch roof transforms our previous egoistic qualities into a new state where we recognize love and connection with others as life's most important values. The true meaning of Sukkot is to build a new reality of mutual understanding and support, a Sukkah of peace, so that the entire Jewish people and the whole world can gather beneath that big thatch of covering and be united as one. When this comes to pass, the temporary home of the Sukkah will be transformed into a temple, a common place in our hearts, and not merely a physical structure. I wish you all a joyful and peaceful holiday. The meaning of the holiday of Sukkot. The true meaning of the holiday of Sukkot is to build a Sukkah of peace so that the entire world will gather beneath this big thatch covering, where we will be united as one. Rosh Hashanah, if we unite, we cover all crimes with love. Happy New Year. The period from the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah, to the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, is called Terrible Days. Yet, in fact, it all depends on our perception. Even the most mournful days such as Tisha B'Av, which symbolizes the historical tragic events that happened to the Jewish people in the past, will in the future become the best days. Therefore, everything depends on a person's perception. If one lives in the past, as many people do because they know nothing about the future, then these are terrible days for him or her. However, the wisdom of Kabbalah, which is completely oriented toward the future, tells about these days as the most beautiful and good ones. The new year, Rosh Hashanah, is the beginning of good changes. The period of repentance that precedes the beginning of the new year is necessary to recognize our evil nature, which we must correct. The most suitable time for correction is approaching, thanks to which we come to good. Rosh Hashanah is followed by the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, when a person judges himself, clarifying how he can reach the degree of the Creator, the state of the upper force, the best state possible. He checks what he must correct in order to reach this corrected and elevated state. As a result, the holiday of Sukkot comes. After all the clarifications and requests for correction, we begin to build a soul. The Sukkah symbolizes the common soul of Adam HaRishon we all are parts of. If we gather together under the roof of the Sukkah, under one cover, covering all crimes with love, then we reveal the joy of the Torah, Simchat Torah. We are so united together that the upper light, called the Torah, fills us and brings us to correction. These days are called terrible, but their menace comes from their greatness. As it is written about the Creator that He is great, mighty, and awesome, but this is not from a threat but from worshipping His greatness. Before Rosh Hashanah it is customary to wish each other a happy new year and a good entry in the nook of life. However, of utmost importance is the understanding that if we unite, covering all crimes with love, this year will indeed be good for us. We should reach such a connection not just once a year before the holiday, but every day, day by day, becoming spiritually closer to each other until we feel such a heartfelt connection as if we were one man with one heart. Then we will feel the upper force, the common nature that fills our common heart. This is what really will be a good new year. From Cab TV's The World. Jewish Holidays, the 26th of September 2019. So the views would not perish from the world. Baal HaSulam, the freedom. Therefore, the collective is obliged to meticulously guard all the views of the few, so they will not perish from the world. This is because they must know for certain, in complete confidence, that the truer and more developed views are never in the hands of the collective in authority, but rather in the hands of the weakest, that is, in the hands of the indistinguishable minority. Question. Why should everyone express their opinion when we sit in circles? Answer, until everyone fully realizes themselves in the connection between us, We cannot reach similarity with the Creator and build a group where the Creator will be revealed. The group is a tool. We must calibrate it. As we turn the knob on a radio, tuning it to a certain wave, we must in the same way turn all the members of the group so they would connect with one another, and in their unity, the mutual, common integral force will manifest. This will be the Creator. Therefore, everyone's participation is very important. Each one individually is very important as well. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, the 25th of December 2018. How can you tell what is good, what is evil? Good and evil is an eternal topic, but in the article Peace in the World, Balhasulam writes that good and evil are evaluated by the actions of the individual toward society. That is, he immediately takes a completely different direction, and so our actions are evaluated in a totally different way. Although the actions of any person can be so personal and individual that it seems impossible to attribute them to society, nevertheless, they are evaluated only in relation to society. Question: can I say, I did a good deed? Answer: no. No matter how good or how bad you treat a plant, an animal, a person, or even yourself, you influence the environment, the society, with your thoughts and actions. Therefore, everything is evaluated in relation to society. How will it change? What will happen to it? This is how you measure whether your actions are good or bad and to what extent. How can I know whether my natural actions are good or bad in relation to society? I stroke a child's head, so this is a good action. How does it affect society? How can I evaluate it? All my actions, whatever they are, bring some consequences to the environment. How can I feel this? Remark: but we usually say that a person performed a good deed or that he harmed someone. My comment: but how do you know? Let's say you beat someone. Did you correct him through that? The fact is that until we feel the entire system of nature we exist in, how we affect it, and what reactions we receive from it, we will not be able to behave correctly and correctly assess our behavior. We have no indicator, evaluator, or a measuring device, something that I can look at and say, this was positive and now it is negative and to what extent. If I felt this, then I could demand something from myself, and I would see on others. They would be my device, like the arrow on a dial that moves toward good, plus, or toward evil, minus. Then I could go around everyone and be proud that I have everything in plus. Remark: but there are generally accepted laws of human society that we must comply with. My comment: of course, in nature there are laws, but in human society they are totally distorted. This is the problem. We do not know how we behave. Is our behavior good or bad, and what consequences our actions have? Of course, this is terrible. Question: how does a Kabbalist weigh his actions to determine if they are correct or not? Answer: if I do not control myself and I act instinctively, my actions are completely wrong, evil, and they harm society and the world. If I want to act correctly, I must connect with the society around me, unite with it, feel how close I am to it, exist in it, feel it, control my actions, and feel their consequences in the society around me, in the intention of bestowal and love, independently of myself. This is when I can say that I am acting correctly. However, this requires practice, a methodology for how to exit myself, enter others, and begin to feel in the connection with them. In this case, you will begin to feel yourself in a different world. From CAPF's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, the 21st of July 2019. New Life Number 286. Envy.
This emotion, what is this emotion? It's so powerful in people, which is called jealousy. Well, first of all, we need to differentiate between jealousy on a bodily, corporeal level, which exists also in animals, if you could say so, that the little pups are kind of struggling in order to be closer to their mother. It's not exactly jealousy, but it's kind of battling in order to get closer to the supplier of life. And also the same thing with children. They don't have true jealousy, but to be next to the mother and with the bigger ones and in general to be close to them. That's the regular jealousy, which the source of it is in insecurity. And another type of jealousy, which is the envy of authors, which will is a more spiritual sort of envy. But on the even on the human level, we see that how much that it envy pushes a person towards all sorts of actions as it raises him above food, sex, family, and money, or richness. Meaning nothing really matters to him other than to keep maintaining this concept of envy, because this really is associated with the human kind in our world and not to the animal type. Meaning this is a part of our existence, because I could be even jealous of someone that's 1,000 generations before me, or even someone who comes after me. It's completely above time. I'm jealous about something that I'll be willing to even pay anything to deal with my jealousy, even with my life, so that this envy will be revealed and be realized. Meaning this fire of jealousy is really powerful and big. It's associated with human beings in this world, and it brings one to all kinds of achievements. Because food, sex, and family are bodily things that exist only in his body and are dependent on time. Meaning for that time or that state that I'm in right now, food, sex, and family. Money is already a matter that is associated with envy, because we're not talking about necessary things. Rather, in money, in my jealousy are all those inclinations are basically mixed in. But in money, it's a different way. It's jealousy, lust, and honor take a person out of this world. So those three, jealousy, lust, and honor, take one out of this world. So they're associated with the human kind and not to degrees of still vegetative and animate. And usually in a developed person, because we see that most people are willing to compromise in the lower things, give them food, sex, family, and they'll live quietly and don't want more than that. But that's most of humanity. Let's say 90% of humanity, and another 9% of humanity are already in the achievement of richness, respect, control, and knowledge. These are people that already want something above that. Meaning that food, sex, and family are not so important for them, but let them have it in a basic level. And something, rather, their desire is, it kind of moves with an emphasis to things that are, let's say, this so-called spiritual in man. Even money is already associated with the spirit in man. It's not because of the money. He doesn't need to count the bills or his gold coins. Rather, it's a matter of a certain inner lack in acquiring for himself a security that's not in his body, but rather above his body. He wants to have lands, he wants to have buildings, he wants to have the whole of earth, and even that isn't so much enough. It's kind of a lack of control, of security, of confidence. It's not the money itself. Money from the word of kisufa, meaning to cover, it's the masa, it's the screen. And that he needs to cover the feeling of that flaw in him. As he is in a not safe state, that he's not in control of his destiny or what's going on in his life. Then maybe with money he will buy for himself more of a grip in life. But it doesn't happen, and therefore, though he wants this security, he wants this life to be under his control, he doesn't achieve it. And therefore he's not satiated. Above the money already comes the matter of control. And in control, we have a matter of jealousy, lust, and honor. So again, about the matter of the money, what you explained was very interesting about the lack of control, that lack of confidence, which causes one to buy this and that and that. We see, yes, how's that? And we see that there's also other actions against that too. If you take a person, you give him a feeling of safety, of security, and wholeness, he doesn't need the money, he's willing to disperse it to the whole world, to give it out. He already feels that it's not giving him anything, that he's above that. That as much as he left for all his children and for everyone is kind of, and what next? It's anyways not in my hands. And anyways, I don't need this. And all in all, let me just dissipate it and give it out and do something useful with it. He starts to rise above that. Meaning, if he's not looking for security, he frees himself from that inner frustration of a lack of confidence. And he realizes that those things can also disappear in a moment, and it's also not important what will happen. He already starts to be in his feelings and opinions, his development, a little bit more above his body. In general, all of these degrees, food, sex, family, money, honor, and knowledge, are all ascending and ascending and ascending, and their disconnect from the body, from the degree of animate, the degree of animal, from the degree of beast. So there are levels of awareness that are different. If I understood correctly, I'll try to summarize in my words, that in the basic thing, it's food. It's meaning the jealousy. Where does it come to respect into expression in this degree? I want for it to have, and if I won't have, I won't be able to exist. Yes, if you can even call it jealousy, it's because it's also in animals. It's not really jealousy. It's an inner existence drive. What I didn't understand is the connection here between money and security. Also, there it's not exactly envy. It's not envy yet. No, because true envy comes in a state where you're already talking about control, which is above money. Money we also see in the whole concept of the rich people. And they go through their their period of richness, and then they move to control. And then they're willing to give out millions and billions that they were earned with hard work to give out just in order to come to control. What is the they need the control? Because I want, and this acquisition is like they have nothing, and they come down at you from all the directions, and you're under fire, and no matter what, and you have a day and a night, and with money you can buy the whole world and to live there. In a way that no one even gets close to you. No, they need control. Simply our desires in such a way develop in us, and there's nothing you can do about it. So, after the richness, the money, the desire for control comes, and in control, there's already a very big concept of envy. In money, I measure the envy. How much do I have compared to millions, compared to how many millions he has? And then you can kind of measure. And these things that you can measure are pretty cheap. They're not something virtual, something spiritual. Whereas jealousy in the form of honor, of respect, which comes after money and richness, this respect that comes, truly there, jealousy, lust, and honor come together. They truly, as it's written, take a person out of this world. But take the person out of this world, meaning they take a person out of the corporeal world. Because this is already a spiritual inclination in him. He's already longing for something that there is no implementation for it, no realization for it in this world. What is jealousy? What is jealousy? What is honor? And these are things that can be in some artist or musician that doesn't have a piece of bread, and it can be in someone that own half country. And therefore, there is no limits to this inclination. I want to understand this. Let's say, first of all, let's talk about richness, and then we'll move onwards. Let's talk about richness. Let's say you're a rich person, and I'm not. Yes. I'm very jealous. What's happening in me? Let's kind of diagnose what's happening inside me. You said that jealousy is good and big and strong. It can bring a person to pay for everything, even with his life. Meaning it's even a greater force than life itself. If you're rich and I'm not. No, I don't mean the jealousy at the degree of richness, because it's very limited. What do you mean? Well, because if you're going to go and win in the lottery today and someday, and you have something else, and you become a millionaire like me, then that's it. The jealousy is over. We can be friends, and like they're both having fun. Yes, but I didn't win the lottery. Well, that's not important. But your jealousy is limited. It's limited to a number. It's clear, this jealousy. How is it being expressed? It's being expressed in how many homes I have, how many factories I have, cars, bank accounts. It's all very known. It's tangible. It's not some kind of virtual, spiritual jealousy. It's jealousy of not what's in me, but what I have. In my pocket, yes. It's a very big difference. It's not what's in me, but what I have. Yes, it's completely different. And then you can give it a sum, $100 million. Yes, tomorrow you can come to the same thing. It's not outside of your reach. Let's say like this. Tomorrow, with the help of the Creator, the new temple will rise. You, who are a Levite, yes, that's your surname, will go and work in the Holy Temple. And I, that I'm not a Levite, I'm not associated with that, well, I don't know what will be revealed, but let's say, like now. So, I will remain here, in my home in Petah Tikva. I'm jealous of you. Would help me that I'm jealous? Probably not. No. That's spiritual jealousy. That I can't achieve what's in you. That you have something that is beyond my achievement. That you can't purchase with money, with anything, in any way. Yes. Wait, I feel bad to say this. Are you willing to sell? No, I have other things that bother me, if you will be or not in the Holy Temple. I'm driving in the street with my Mazda. That's also, yeah, from a leasing, you know, second hand, from leasing, in good situation, in good conditions. And someone drives next to me with a Porsche. No. I would be happy to switch, but it's not happening. I'm jealous of him. He has a Porsche, and I'm jealous of him. What is this feeling in me? How should I work with it? How should I relate to it? How to, that's jealousy. That's our topic, jealousy. But it's very limited, very defined. I want that car. It could be also that cars have that, that animals have this, that, I don't know, his cage or the cave he lives in, or his, I don't know, the pigsty is nicer than mine. It doesn't matter. There's more comfort for one than for the other. I don't know. It could be that all kinds of things like that happen with him. Yes, okay. So the fact that animals have it, that doesn't help me. Now I have this, Josie. How do I manage this feeling? It's an emotion. It exists in me. No. Do we want to discuss on how to heal the jealousy? How to heal it? Is it a disease? I don't think it's a disease, and I don't think it needs to be healed. Everything we receive from nature is every inclination, is the right inclination, which will come to us until we will learn how to use it in the right way for the sake of our advancement. Can I use this emotion in order to advance in my life? As you're saying, that I see a Porsche instead of my Mazda? Of course. How? It pushes you towards progress. You're eating yourself up, yes. And you're searching of how someday you will also be with a Porsche. That's called progression. It's called progression because his father and his grandfather, they had a carriage, and he already has a Mazda. Meaning, at least he'll be able to direct your children so that they will have a Porsche. Let's say that that's progression, or advancement. That's advancement in the... In the development towards spirituality. And where's that fire that you talked about? Oh, you don't feel it. You said that jealousy is in fire. Well, you don't feel it. And when he goes by me, yes. Afterwards, I tried to forget because I know as much as I try, I won't have a Porsche. No, not because of that. Because why should you just suffer? Meaning, your body is feeling really... It sees that these things are... not in the reach of his hand, and so he calms himself down. As it's written, one does not long for the princess. You long for her, but you know you can't have her, so you don't long for that. It's something that's above you. Maybe, you know, children in fairy tales can fantasize about it, but actually, we are jealous of things that are in our reach. And we need to understand that the body, more or less, is holding us in the same degree of jealousy which we have to realize. That means there is a possibility for me to change it sometime. And if not, I'd be able to... instead of an apartment, you could buy a Porsche. Yes, instead. But then I'll live in a Porsche. Well, it's whatever the apartment is. Yes, but then I won't have where to live. Okay, we understood that point. Now let's take something else. I see. I want a certain woman. Yes. I'm jealous that she's not mine. She's yours. What about that? Buy? What do you mean by? Everything can be bought and sold. I'm sorry for saying this, but what am I saying? Everything is given for exertion and for achievement. How is that possible? Everything. She loves you, not me. She wants to be with you and not with me. Sir, that's jealousy that we see how much this it comes and goes. What do you mean comes and goes? People murder for this. Okay, so what? They simply don't know how to organize these things. So what does it mean to put into order these things? Let's say, if you were some movie star, not something huge, but something. So it's not important of anything, but you would be hypnotizing her. But I'm not. But you're not, and she's with you. But with what do you want to buy her? She's an acquirement. Even a friend you acquire. An acquirement meaning in the form of how you effort, how you, in your appearance and everything like that. And if you don't manage to do it, then you're jealous. That you're not worthwhile. You need to understand that each thing has a price. But that's exactly the matter. Wait, wait. Let's say you're jealous that I have something that you don't have. So you go to work in order to achieve the same thing so that you will have it too, or not. Or you kill me and buy a pistol and kill me and take it from me. It doesn't matter. But you need to do something in order to achieve it, to attain it. Or there are two options before me. I don't know, within the law or above the law or in some way. Jealousy itself doesn't help a person. What does that mean? Because a fool sits with his hands full, on his chest and is eating his own flesh. What do you have to do? You have to realize the jealousy. The jealousy was given to us so that we will advance and advance in life. So that I will learn from others, from their achievements, and will want to achieve the same thing. So I look at a home, a nice home. So I also want even something better. Where's this architect and something like that? I look at a woman, like you're saying, a beautiful woman. Yes, because jealousy is in that too. It's very powerful. And then what else do we have? And wisdom, you know, anything. It helps us advance and develop. It's a very effective engine. But there's fire in this engine, right? No? Otherwise, I would remain an animal. An undeveloped animal. We would have never left the cave. It was nice and good there. In the cave. Only the jealousy progresses us. I'm looking at your grass. I'm looking at him. Oh, he already has two donkeys. I have one donkey. Oh, he has two wives. I have one wife. And so on and so forth. I look, I grow. You have, till today, such tribes in the world that are not jealous of each other. If they're not jealous, then they all live together. The moment they start being envious in some and others, within this desire to grow, to enjoy more, they start to differentiate. And to define between them trade and all kinds of human conditions, like this is for me, this is for you, you know, I'm for you and you're for me. I won't just give it to you just like that, and you won't give it to me without some kind of favor. Meaning, to the degree in which you feel yourself individualized or differentiated, then you have jealousy. What is it, alone or differentiated? It's that you have something personal, that you're not like the others. Meaning that it's already not a herd. It's already a conglomeration of personalities that are in a certain connection between them, but each and every one of them is a personality. And then it becomes a nation. It's really not just some thing where you kind of mixed, you know, some paste where you mix them up and you get a certain fluid that comes out. Each of them is differentiated and alone. You're already not associated with your king that, let's say, that you're not considered anything. No, you're already a human being, which you can't just be killed and you have a family, and you have children, you have a home, you have, so you have, you have, and you have. And then you become more and more lonely with you and your family, and think, the family is the foundation of humanity that till this day. Even though today it's already starting to relatively kind of be destroyed. Can I ask? Yes? You said that jealousy is a wonderful thing. It's a developmental engine. It helps us develop. If not, if we didn't have it, we wouldn't develop. We look at each other and this wants us to develop. Look at how women look. They're not looking at men. They're looking at each other. Women. A woman doesn't look at a man. She doesn't look at, well, who are you? Where is that? Is that and she's looking at you at your wrapping. Not at all. They look at each other. How does she look? How does she look? How does she look? Why really? Why is the jealousy between women and not necessarily... She doesn't care how she appears even before men. She cares about what women would say or what they would think. They have a completely opposite world than ours. Why is it like that? Why are we built in such a way that we are jealous of women less than we are of men? Because the root is nukva. A woman doesn't see man. Rather, she doesn't see it because, well, I don't know how to talk about this in with nice words. Nevertheless, we're on the TV. Because according to the root of man and woman, a man is in a spiritual degree that is a higher up in spirituality. Once again, we need to explain this, and not that, God forbid, here I want to... Yeah, according to the roots here is the Anpin and Malchut, and then the difference between them is in the degrees, and therefore Malchut does not attain the Gever in this. But in parts of the Malchut, there's jealousy between them because they bring us the matter of the ego that needs to, in the future, connect to be in one body. And for the time being, therefore, there's development in this that they are envious and there are in certain struggles between them and so on. A woman does not struggle with a man. Even if they're now are moving up to all kinds of different levels and this and that. But what she really wants is, who am I in the eyes of the women? And it's really what goes on. They have a world of their own. As I look at women, I see them as a certain one body, which is like the Amazonians from ancient Greek, that they have a country of their own, a state of their own, and that's how they live. What's the difference between men's jealousy and... Well, a man doesn't look at... They don't look at each other. They all look at how to play with life. How to hunt and to go to traveling and to fly and to do all kinds of things. Games for every thing. Soccer and the fact that they have the... They carry their women with them. It's something modern more. But a man is for development. He's for life, for going out to the world. And a woman doesn't really take these inclinations. Usually, it's not in, though they do it a little bit. It's not in their nature. Their role, their nature is to play with the dolls like them and to truly be gratified with that, to be satisfied with that. They're sufficient in that. It means they look at each other and at the dolls and that's the life. And the man, no, he needs, like in his games, to run, to fly, to run away. We talked about jealousy as an engine. So in accordance, the jealousy is. In them, it's that form of jealousy and the women and the men, it's a different form of jealousy in accordance with what they play with. And it's not that there is jealousy between men and women. That almost doesn't happen. So let's say you explained previously that jealousy is an engine for development. If you work with it right, you want to improve yourself and develop. So how does the jealousy between women help a woman to develop? Jealousy between women helps development. Beauty salons are developed, all kinds of vacationing things, fashion. What do we have on TV other than fashion and cooking? And in cooking I actually see more women, and in fashion women. It's all out of jealousy, and the media are great experts in this, in awakening jealousy in each and every woman and men, all that. Men are sold all kinds of toys, and the women, beauty and aesthetics.
Yeah.
As we're talking, I've been reminded that I think while I was in the military or at a certain stage, if I want a certain girl and she doesn't want me, she wants you, I'm very jealous. I have no other thought in my life other than that. I would be happy if you'd die and I would be able to take her. At a certain age, we go through all kinds of such emotions in order to give us the right impression to life from all kinds of things. You know, it's like in a computer. You buy a certain program, and this program has a certain standards, video a little bit, audio, and the computer kind of resets itself towards that. And this is the same thing. In the beginning of our lives, we get all kinds of such impressions of jealousy, lust, honor, hatred, all kinds of things, so that later, according to that, it would be already possible to feel life. So explain to me, what am I feeling? Is that the fire of the jealousy? What do I have? I want you to die, or I don't care, disappear from reality for her to move to me. I don't want. She doesn't want. She wants to be with me. What am I feeling? What do I do with what I'm feeling? Is this what jealousy is called? Well, usually we don't do anything about this. If you ask me, then you know yourself already. You've been through that age a little bit. We don't do anything with that. Then it just remains. That's the first love that we're given like that in our lives. And certain orthodoxy, they don't go through this, but that's how it is. We go through it, and it passes. It remains as an impression. Okay. Let's say another thing. At work, you got a job, a role that I really wanted. I know that from now 5 to 10 years, I can forget about it. You took on that place, and now you took that place, and that's it. The story's over. Same thing. I want you to die or dissipate. The same thing here. And I'll receive that role. Is that jealousy? Jealousy? What does it do? It's burning me. Yeah, it's burning you. Every day I go by your office, and I'm just wishing for you to explode so that you won't get to the next floor. So what do I do with this? What do I do with this? Eat yourself up. I'm completely eating myself up about it. You're asking, what is your solution? How do I cope with this emotion? I don't have to do with that. And therefore, you're saying fire. It's burning me. It's hurting. In the end, maybe not you, but it happens to millions of people. Yes, everyone knows this. That's what I'm asking. But it progresses them. Where does it advance me? It could be that you come and you kill this person. It could be in extreme situations that happens. It could be that you become so good, you go to study, you go to do something, you come into competition with him, get and improve, and in struggles, all of a sudden you see that he wasn't so good, and you go up to the bus and you tell him, in order to do you this and that. In short, it causes progression, it causes advancement. That's clear. Now, how would this engine, this fire that you're giving, an expression of fire here with this jealousy, we can heat, we can warm things, or we can burn things. How do I deal with it, engage and cope with it when it's inside of me? Make the calculation with it. Not just that. Sir, if you can't do anything with your fire of jealousy, then you don't deserve to rise anymore, to progress anymore, because you're not a person that knows how to use his emotions and your abilities anymore. What does it mean to use my emotions in the right way, to balance your feelings with your intellect, with your mind? What does it mean? That the whole negative situation, that negative feeling that you're having, you're using it in a positive manner. So it won't disappear. What? This feeling of jealousy, lust, honor, hatred. So it won't disappear. Don't turn the fire out. No. Rather, you control it, and you start to implement it in the right direction, methodically, in stages, until you reach what you want to reach. If you'll read the biographies of all kinds of autobiographies and such of big people, you'll see what they did, how they fell and how they built themselves, and how they made of themselves in one day in the stock exchange or something like that. They were totally nothings and lost everything, and how they rose again. The force that drove them to get up was jealousy. Yes, jealousy. Envy. He fell, really, he crashed, lost everything. I wish that I will at some point have in his life what he has today, because even after his crush, he has a few good millions, which is with his grandmother, or the name of his mother, or the children, or something like that. Meaning, we're talking about such things, and he rises nevertheless. But for him, of course, it's, you know, the whole life. There are those that burn themselves, kill themselves, you know, commit suicide, but he rises, gets up, and starts to work again and again, and searches, who will he get into business, who will take him as a manager, because nevertheless, he was successful in his management, until his failure was set up. People with money don't need money already. I'm talking about the higher levels of the lines, not the kind of smaller ones. But those that have billions and millions, for them it's not money. For them it's already control. And above the control, it's already the philosophy of life. I've spoke to them. Truly, I've discerned this in them. It's not a matter of money at all. Rather, how the world is built, how we can change it, how we spin the world. They feel on themselves as God, truly. If there it is jealousy and completely different things, and there really isn't some envy in between, but rather there the envy is in the success of their idea of, they rise from a degree of jealousy to knowledge, to the acquisition of wisdom. And this is how the progression of development is. I want to ask, because sadly I still don't have billions. You're jealous of a poor Porsche and the beautiful wife of your friend, and the successful friends of someone else. And a job. Yeah, what's in my world? Okay, that's the degree. Now, you said a very key word here to understand of balancing the fire of jealousy between your feelings and your mind. And I wrote to do it in gradually, in the right way, and to balance until you come to where you have to come to. No, I don't understand exactly how I do this. Oh, people go to get coaching, to psychologists, they do more sport, they go to all kinds of courses, and each and every workplace you have many trainings and things, and this is all in order to balance the feelings and the mind, in order to bring one into balance so that with that he will be able to realize himself. I don't care about the coaching and all that. I'm managing my emotion in a methodical way. How do I manage optimally the feeling of jealousy in me? I am jealous of someone for something. How do I work with this in a way that is beneficial to my advancement? This needs to push you in some direction of development. In order to achieve what you want, you need to get to it. For it to be in the reach of your hands. It could be that you need to learn for a few years. It could be that you need to do some kind of special jobs. It could be that you need to go through a few more years and learn something and work with your hands. It depends on who you are and what you are. But undoubtedly, there is a period of exertion here. Of mine. Yes, of yours. Okay, now, when I'm jealous, I describe to you in a very revealed manner, and I think everyone knows this in their life, that other than making steps on my own, let's say you came to a certain achievement and I'm jealous of you, okay? You tell me, okay, I understand what steps you need to do in order to develop yourself and come to even achievements that are no less. So this is in a sterile manner, in an elaborate way. Okay, it's very fine, I understand you. But if I'm looking at my heart, what I'm feeling, I'm just wishing for you to die, right? I'm not saying this correctly. I'm wishing for you to die. Why are you doing that? Because you're always bringing back to your field, to my field, and you say, go, develop, progress, and you'll also get to it. That's fine. But I have a feeling that is burning me. That I want, that if you'll disappear, I'll have it, what you have. Listen, these are two approaches in life. What? In the competitive approach, then you thank someone for giving you such an example. It pushes you forward to develop. Because all in all, you see that he for you is like some red rag for a bull, after which you are running and this pushes you towards development, to these achievements. Look, if I wouldn't see in my childhood wise people, that was in the 60s, back when it was, maybe even less than that, and before that, that would get honor, respect, especially scientists, that would, when they go out to the space and work on that. Not that I myself are going to space. Also, I would be very jealous. I remember that the jealousy I had, it was wow. But the main thing is, why am I not associated with it? I want to learn this. I want to develop this, to understand this, to feel this. For me, this was a dream. So what? Do I want it not to happen, or do I want to be also in this? If it's something abstract, I don't know, to be an astronaut. So also, he can be an astronaut, and I also want to be an astronaut. But if you got the job in our organization, we both we're competing for it. I'm just wishing for you to die, and I'm going to look at the process of how we get closer to that. What do I do with that? Not something abstract, something close. That, how do I, this is the question, how do I cope with the emotion that I want, that you've reached a certain achievement and the fire of jealousy is telling me I want to burn you, for you not to have it. How to manage that emotion? The fact that it's an engine of development to develop me, to progress me, I understand. But what do I do with this feeling that I can't stand that you have it? I can't stand it. I see you. This is ruining my life, that you are holding on to this achievement, whether it's a more abstract achievement, like a standings, or if it's something more... I can't see it in you. I don't accept this picture that you have this and I don't. And between us, it doesn't even matter what it is. You have, I don't. That's it. That's my whole world right now. I have a flame in me that wants to burn you. How do I manage that? There's nothing. You don't have what to do. Eat yourself up. Yeah, I am, and I'll be happy. If you're talking about a regular person. In other situations, if you're talking about the correctional world, let's connect. Let's unite. By us connecting, what the good that each and every one has will grow. And we will achieve more in our connection. I didn't understand. Let's spin everything, the roles. I reached a certain achievement, and you're envious of me. And your work, doesn't matter what. No, there's a difference. Okay, yes, in work. I got a job that you also wanted. Every day you enter, you see me in the office that you dreamed to sit in. 5 years you worked to try to win it, and you're done. Now what are you going to recommend to yourself? I am going to recommend to myself to do a good calculation. What can I do? Is there a chance here to reach such a state here or in a different place? Or I don't have other places? And if there are no other places, and I'm also not capable of coming to that same situation like you, because really the seat is taken and I won't be able to take it over in the near future in any way. I'm not going to go and pay someone to kill you. Maybe I will search for some opportunity to do something for the boss that's truly a really great above anything, so maybe he will switch between us through all sorts of ways that you can possibly do. But if I see that I'm talking like with a regular people, that I have no chance, then either I remain and put out this fire of envy in me in all kinds of ways, or I move to another place. And there, I move to a place where, first of all, you are not before me. The source of my jealousy, which is burning me. And it could be that also I'll be able to work there for that same role, for that same heights that you've grabbed onto. And or all in all, I would remain in my job and work okay and fine, but choose to myself some additional new goal, because my job becomes something on the sidelines, and what I will engage in, let's say it's a hobby, that becomes my main thing. You depicted it for me, a state that I can move from my environment. But you have to do this, otherwise you go crazy and you just burn your life. Okay, you depicted a state that you can run from this environment. Let's say a different situation. Well, you can't run away from this situation. You can't. There's no conditions to move. You are stuck in this stature of, I'm burning up with jealousy. I'm going to eat to the point where I can go crazy. And there's nothing you can do. Okay, take alcohol, some drugs, medicines. Go to a psychologist. What do you want? Well, what am I for you now going to bring you something new? I don't know. Is there something beyond that? There is something above that. But that's spiritual development. I don't care what you call it. I am stuck in a situation. I can't move to it any place because it's burning me. You can easily take care of it. So please. I'm telling you, there is a very nice, good way that you develop, that you're not harming anyone. No one can harm you. You come to the root of your soul. You come to something that no one can steal from you or grab from you. It's yours. And in that you acquire eternity, wholeness, achievements, development, things that you exit yourself from the whole hour that we talked, that you what remains is some kind of bitter taste, and it's really a little disgusting if you ask me. I'm sorry for that. But you go out to a different world, a beautiful, good, to a world that you're not limited in. Rather, you have competition. Because of what? Because of his seat. I'll buy you the same chair, for your birthday. Will buy me? Will you buy me his Porsche, his wife, his job, his wisdom? What will you buy for me? You won't want all those corporeal achievements that come and go like that upon us all the time. What are you talking about? You're going now to buy eternity, eternal life, life without limits, where you already, now, immediately enter into it and start to live them with a feeling, not that a Porsche, what Porsche? A woman. It's nothing. It's not worthwhile for you. You don't understand that the feeling that you receive all in all from all these things, you're getting a certain pleasure, a fulfillment. And for the Porsche, you can maybe enjoy for a few days, or they'll stand like you on the street today, a few more other people. They'll be jealous of you, so you're like, for a few minutes, they'll give you a little bit of you know, of life for that. It's worth for you to burn $1 million for. Well, and so on. So you won't need that. You won't need to live from the jealousy of other people. Why? From the respect of other people. Because it's not worthwhile. It's cleaved unto that time, to that life of yours, and for the life that exists. We've already developed, we can even look at our life forward and back, and we see how much it's worthwhile. There were days, look at what happened in every generation and generation, and every minute and minute, people are running after each other and all that, and what remains? I'm raising you above time, so that you will have the envy of authors, which will make the wisdom great. Authors are those who know how to count the right thing. Do you understand? No. The book of Zohar explains to us that the true envy is in people that ascend to eternal acquirements. There, they obtain such halls, and I like your home. What kind? Halls. I don't even know how to tell you. It's they're acquiring such. I don't know how to say. It's not a Porsche or anything. It's really, you don't know what you're buying. You're buying a feeling which remains in you also now and also after death. And you don't even feel death. What death? If you rise above time, you completely operate in it. You're jealousy. How am I going to get this? How am I going to get that? You are working in you're constantly in time and place and space limited. You're like in a kindergarten. You're in a sandbox, and you're like, this is mine, and that's mine, and that's mine. And you see children, how they kind of like want to grab it from the other kids, even if it's a small bucket, a plastic bucket, and a little shovel, and everything. And they're like, oh, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. You saw that, right? That's how you are in your life, you poor thing. So what can I do? I'm going to take you out of the soundbox. How? I need to give you a little bit of a mind. So you're always talking about balancing the mind with the feeling. Not the balance. Even more than that, I will give you horizons that are outside of the sandbox. You will rise from this little sidewall of the sandbox, and you'll look at it and see, wow, what a world, what things. You will all of a sudden want something new. So what kind of mind will you give me that I don't have now? A mind of an Adam, of a human. What is that mind? A person who doesn't look at other people, who looks at, the eternality in nature, meaning, because he wants to be eternal, he wants to be whole, he wants to be above, and all in all, without any calculations with all of humanity. He's not jealous of anyone to a human measure in what they've got. To nothing. Give him billions. What will he do with it? Give him all the honor in the world. What will he do with it? Who will respect me? He's above them. How can I be above everyone? For that, we need to learn a little bit about the true wisdom. What I learn? What a person is for, what he develops to, what form he needs to reach. So you will be jealous with the jealousy of authors will increase the wisdom. So those are the kind of things of how they've reached certain things and you didn't. Where did they come to? They've come to the feeling of perfection in nature, wholeness in nature. There were people that achieved this feeling, so I should be jealous of them? Yes. Why should I be jealous of them? Because that will raise you to their degree. And what is it to feel the perfection in nature? Then you will feel. And this can't be passed on to you. Why? What do I start with? How can I... What is this addition of mind that you want to give me that will turn out this fire of jealousy that I'm feeling right now? So first of all, I want to tell you that what you have jealousy of is a very good thing. Really, but it's burning me so far. Wonderful. Now we need to invert it. like you said, that a fire can burn and it can warm and forge. And so we need to invert the jealousy into a positive force. That's usually what we start with. Therefore, we see that people that are our days, they are truly in the fire of jealousy that's burning them. And though they want to navigate it in all kinds of directions to direct it towards clothing of people and to food for men and all kinds of other things, I think it's the two directions for women and men. Men are drawn to food more, and women are drawn more to fashion. Yeah, and that's what you have on television. So I think that we need to direct your jealousy in such a way, and then you will come to us and learn what are you living for and how is it connected to envy. What is it worthwhile to be envious of? Envy can bring us to the highest degree of life, each in his degree. Either he's battling in the sandbox or for the job somewhere, for some role at your workplace, or already in degrees that bring one to eternal life. What is this eternal life that you say? Where you come out of the boundaries of time, where you feel that you're living forever. What, not to the age of 90 or 100? No. Limitless. You forget from life completely. You become, what do you mean I forget? What about my pains and my ulcer? Nothing. You have nothing. You rise above your body. That's what we need to come to. Not just you, but all of humanity. So envy helps us get there. Envy is what develops in us the ability to progress in such a way. Yes. I have to discriminate. What is eternal life? A person doesn't die. That's in fairy tales. No, in his feeling he doesn't die. But his body dies and he doesn't feel. Yes, but not like that. You cut your nails, do you feel that you're getting rid of something? The hair? You know, when you get a haircut? No, it doesn't hurt. No. That's how you rise from... It's because it's a vegetative. So you rise from the degree of vegetative to the degree of animate, and you don't feel it. This way you rise from the degree of animate to the degree of human. The Adam. It's a special degree. You don't feel death. Your body, your donkey, it's a donkey. That's called the field of perfection and wholeness and nature. Yes? How's that possible? Because then you're rising to the degree that you don't have limitations. There are no limitations on you, no boundaries. You see our life here as just some kind of beginning. A beginning for what? A beginning to enter into a place which is called the Garden of Eden. But it's not the Garden of Eden that you were told about in life. So what is it? It's the feeling of eternal life without physical, outer body feelings. This is what we all need to reach. And this crisis that we're experiencing right now and are coming and advancing in needs to bring us to that. Our time is over, but envy is actually the lift, the force that with which we advance towards that life. And therefore, in our world, in this is especially being developed. Thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nita. And thank you, too, for being with us. A lift. We're going up to Garden Eden between us. A new life. All the best.